Our State Capitol Report continues in this half hour with a UW-Green Bay political scientist giving us his analysis of the latest news on the recall front, and especially this flap over whether it was appropriate for one of the Democratic candidates for governor to pledge to veto a budget that doesn't restore collective bargaining rights, and whether it made sense for the Wisconsin Education Association Council to endorse a candidate in the gubernatorial recall election this early in the process. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, February the 13th. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will also talk some about Wisconsin's newly discovered a budget deficit that we will be facing in 2013, and this and using the national mortgage settlement to help the state budget. We'll wonder what you think of that as well. Our guest is Tim Dale, assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being back with us. So let's start first with the recall news. So, was it unusual, or should we be scratching our heads over WEAC throwing its support behind former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk so early in this process?
Well, I think it's funny to ask any question about something being unusual during this recall election.
That's true.
Everything is unusual. And so WEAC's explanation is that the election is short, and so they want to be sure that they have an endorsement. What makes it so unusual, if we could even describe it that way, is that we don't even know all the candidates who are going to be running. Typically, when endorsements are made, particularly from large organizations, we already know who the field of candidates are going to be. And in this case, it's likely that we will see a big name or two announce their candidacy after the election. We know for sure that the election is going to take place. The reason we don't know for sure is that the signatures have not been verified yet. A date for an election hasn't been sent. And so there are some pretty big names out there, and the union was fairly early in endorsing Falk.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're saying that once the petitions are verified, the signatures are verified, presumably a recall election is going to occur, that's when more candidates would enter this race as Democratic challengers.
That's right. And I think part of the reason that the union decided to endorse early is that for them, the issue at the forefront is collective bargaining. And so as far as the union is concerned, this is an issue that they want as the center feature of the race. But the recall election is about more than just collective bargaining for a lot of people. And so the question of what should be at the center of attention is something that's going to be negotiated and debated even among Democrats if we see this election go forward and that there's a Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm. And Kathleen Falk apparently said that she would veto a budget that did not restore collective bargaining rights, and WEAC liked that.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things that I think is interesting about this recall election is that you're going to hear a lot of policy issues being discussed as the reason that the recall is happening. But a mutual friend of ours and I, Joe Foy at University of Wisconsin Parkside, mm-hmm. We're doing research on the recall election, and our research shows that the recall is really about questions of process and procedures more than it is about questions of policy. And so in your first half hour, you were talking about even the redistricting and the open meetings challenges. And one of the things that we find is, as we look at the recall election, is that as much as there are a lot of policy complaints about the Walker administration from several different angles, this is really a question of what kinds of procedures were followed and whether or not there is transparency in state government. And so I think this is the reason why the union wanted to get the endorsement out early, is because there are a lot of players who are going to be voicing concerns in this race, and all of them are going to be competing within this broader context of a justification for the recall.
So how big of an impact, how important is this endorsement by WEAC of Kathleen Falk?
Well, it it's an interesting question, and I think that we're still trying to get the entirety of the landscape worked out. So to what extent is this an election for a lot of people about the collective bargaining policy, and to what extent is it about something bigger? I think that the union is an important point of contact for a lot of people in terms of who to support. But I think because it's so early and because we don't know who all the candidates are going to be, it may not ultimately be significant because there are other unions in the state who will be making endorsements. And if other big names get into the race, it may eclipse this endorsement to a point where, in retrospect, we would be saying that it might have been too early.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a caller who wants to get in on this. Let me go to Jerry in Hales Corners. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning. I'd like to make the observation that one of the biggest problems I had with Scott Walker was the fact that he didn't let the general public know the extent of what he was going to do when he got into governorship. And that's a betrayal of everybody. I don't care what side you're on. So when Kathleen Falk announces that she is going to fold up the budget to get the collective bargaining rights restored, I'm thinking at least she's coming out right in the beginning and saying, this is what I'm all about. If you're going to vote for me, fine. And if you're not, well, then it goes the other way.
All right. Professor Dale?
Yes, and I think that this is one of the tricky things about making pledges like this, although we really want to hear them before a candidate takes office. But one of the things you discussed in your first half hour is that there is a chance that if there's a Republican state legislature and a Democratic governor, what we would have is a state government without a budget. So if it is going to be vetoed and there's no movement on either side, then I think that we would be in a position where no one would be happy. And I think one of the things that voters are probably going to be looking for, both from Walker and also from whoever the Democratic challenger ends up being, is a spirit of compromise and a spirit of communication. Like I talked about a few minutes ago, I think one of the complaints about Walker is that there wasn't a sense of reciprocity or an interest in getting some sort of agreement. And so I think that while we probably will be hearing from the Democratic candidates pledging to work very hard on changing policy, those kinds of pledges tend to be tricky when it comes to signing something like a state budget in the end.
Yeah, there was also news last week that it's not just Kathleen Falk who wants to run as a Democrat against Governor Walker, but another Kathleen, State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, who's a dairy farmer from Alma. Talk some about the new candidate, or maybe even compare the two.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we'll be looking at kind of from a political science perspective is where these candidates come from and who they represent. And so there's obviously a very, very strong, was a very strong showing in recent elections from Dane County for the Democratic side. But Democrats also live in other parts of the state. And we saw Tom Barrett as a challenger to Walker the first time, and there's a chance that Barrett would get in again, but Barrett's from Milwaukee. And so one of the questions that's going to be asked of the candidates, and one of the interesting things to see as the possible Democratic primary moves forward, is where the representation from the Democratic Party comes from and what kind of arguments we see from the candidates. So any candidate that enters the race is going to have to describe a couple of things, what they're going to do once they're in office, but why they think they're a credible challenge to Walker. And so I think Falk has developed those arguments well. What's going to be interesting is seeing which candidates emerge from other parts of the state. And we may even see other names come in the race or come in the conversation, Steve Kagan, for example, or Dave Obie. And I think this would be a very interesting primary if those developments continue.
Yeah, I've certainly seen fans and foes of Kathleen Falk and fans and foes of Kathleen Vinehout and fans and foes of all the rest of those names you mentioned as well. How bruising, how damaging might this primary process be, or don't you see it that way?
Well, because this it's going to be such a short election cycle on these things that it probably won't be a long, drawn-out series of negative ads or anything. I think there are a couple of paths for the primary. You could see candidates dropping out of the race and getting behind whoever is the best at raising money early or whoever seems to have the most endorsements and support. Sometimes in races where you have this much contentiousness and there is a person with good name recognition, you sometimes have a movement in the race fairly quickly even before a primary happens. But we could have a battle of sorts. I think that the battle probably would be along some fairly tame lines, for example, whether or not candidates sign on to a pledge not to sign a budget that doesn't repeal the collective bargaining law. But those are going to be disagreements of policy. I doubt we're going to see very much attack ads going on within a Democratic primary.
We are talking with Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay, about the latest news involving the recall effort, including WEAC endorsing Kathleen Falk for governor. Last week, a pledge from Kathleen Falk to veto a budget that does not repeal the collective bargaining law, and more. We're welcoming your thoughts and questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you want your candidate to sign a collective bargaining pledge? What do you make of WEAC throwing its support behind Kathleen Falk? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking the weather forecast for today, increasing clouds with light snow in southern Wisconsin, a chance of snow in central Wisconsin, less than 2 inches expected by the time this is over tonight. Highs will be in the upper 20s today in the west to the mid-30s in the far north and the east. Significantly more snowfall, possibly a few inches, is possible for Wednesday night into Thursday. Still a little too early to say how much and exactly where. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, February the 13th. Just in time for Valentine's Day, I will talk with StoryCorps founder Dave Isay about the stories of love found and stories of love lost that are contained in his new book on love stories. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Our guest for this portion of our State Capitol Report, Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay, talking mainly about the latest in recall news with him. But I also wanted, Professor Dale, to ask you about this this news from last week that Wisconsin is getting a portion of this national mortgage settlement. And we learned that Wisconsin is going to use a chunk of that, about, I think, $26 million or something like that to be used to help balance the state budget books. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about that.
Well, it's an interesting question for both for us and for the governor and the governor's administration because, as you talked about in the first half hour, there are some thoughts that this is inconsistent as a position for the governor, since it is politically controversial to take funds from or intended for one source and put them toward another. Of course, when you're staring down a budget deficit that seems to continue to grow, then some calculations come in. I think we also have the situation where the governor is facing a recall election and so has to figure out how he might balance the state budget without making too many more people unhappy. So it's definitely a problem, and I think the controversy has many layers to it.
Yeah, and we did have a Facebook comment from a listener who said, "Why didn't the governor just return this money back to the feds? Isn't that what he usually does?"
Right, and this it is, of course, a reference to other things that the governor has done to return federal money. Now, this is not actually federal grant money. This is a settlement from a lawsuit. Of course, the governor probably could have refused the settlement. But what people are asking the governor to do is use the money or all of the money, because most of it is being used to help people who are affected by the mortgage crisis. But this portion of it to be used to help those people directly as opposed to helping the state budget. The governor's argument is that the state budget was also affected by the mortgage crisis, and part of the settlement funds do give discretion, fairly wide discretion, to state governments to use a portion of the funds, a percentage of them, to address any problem that the state sees related to the mortgage crisis, which can be thought or defined pretty broadly.
Yeah. We do have some calls coming in, but let me ask you if you have a reaction to Governor Walker. Before the CPAC convention on Friday night, he said, in essence, well, he said a number of things, but paraphrasing him, he said that this recall was really important in Wisconsin because if we win, he said, it will encourage, you know, other leaders like him to take these bold, brave steps and make change that's needed. But if we lose, well, God help us, that was going to be very bad. Does this recall election in Wisconsin have national ramifications?
Absolutely. Wisconsin is going to be the center of the political universe in the coming months because it really is a referendum on a clear distinction between a Democratic and a Republican approach to balancing budgets. And so this is a question that has obviously specific Wisconsin implications, but it's a philosophical divide and one that's about real policy differences. One of the things that I've noticed in the last several months and actually year is that I have not heard anyone allege that elections don't matter or that there's no difference between the parties. This is sometimes the argument that we get from people who say that voting doesn't matter, is that there's no difference. Really, it's very difficult to say that in this context because we really are seeing two different ways of approaching problems of fiscal responsibility and state budgets. And so there really is going to be a choice. And Walker is right in the sense that people are going to be paying attention to this election because it will be a referendum on Walker's administration and his policies. Whether or not the people of Wisconsin support it or are against it, either side is going to be making their arguments, and the voters are going to have to decide.
Patricia in Madison's our first caller on this segment. Hi, Patricia.
Good morning. How soon people forget that Governor Doyle took the tobacco settlement monies and used it for balancing the budget, twice took monies out of the Department of Transportation segregated funds.
Right, right.
And tried to get the physician's liability insurance fund and was sued and found it was illegal to do that.
So, Patricia, that means that Governor Walker, who has criticized Governor Doyle for doing those things, it's okay that he did something similar.
Well, I guess we shouldn't criticize Governor Walker because Doyle did the same thing, and where was the outrage at that time?
Well, is there a difference, Professor Dale?
Well, there's a technical policy difference in the sense that segregated funds that are collected through state revenue and revenue streams are different than kind of big lump settlements. And so some of the criticism about Doyle and other administrations by Republicans are about whether or not you should be able to use those funds. Although I think that the caller is right, there is definitely this that kind of political or ideological fight about whether or not you ought to use funds intended for one purpose to another. But in line with what the caller's question, it turns out in the last few days we've learned that the Democratic governor of Missouri is taking $40 million of this mortgage settlement and using it to diminish cuts made to the public university system. And so in that case, you have a Democratic governor who's using the funds for something else. I think that the truth is that both Democrats and Republicans in the governor's office are going to use cash that comes in to address particular problems. I think the debate about whether or not to use these funds in this way is really about whether or not these funds ought to be used this way. That is, if it's a good policy option. And so the arguments against Walker using the funds, at least from people like Tom Barrett, are that these funds would be better used to address the direct mortgage problems of people, and particularly people in certain areas of the state that have been the most affected. So there are broad questions about whether or not funds should be used, but anytime these issues come up, they really tend to be concentrated around a cluster of particular policy considerations. In this case, what is the best way to address the financial problems of the state, and how should this money be used to do that?
Thanks, Patricia. Sharon in Middleton is with us. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good. What's up?
I wanted to comment on your discussion on the endorsement of Kathleen Falk by WEAC, and I just caught the tail end of it. But I just wanted to make my comment that I'm thrilled that WEAC stepped up and did an endorsement and provided some leadership. I mean, this whole fight began a year ago when the governor attacked education and attacked teachers, and I think I'm delighted to see them endorse a strong candidate for governor.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Any reaction, Professor Dale?
Well, I think that the caller provides a good example of the kind of people who are watching for particular endorsements in this race. So people who showed up to protest at the state capitol during the budget repair bill goings-on last year, a lot of them were there because of the collective bargaining question. And so that certainly is going to be an issue that is going to be at the center of a lot of the discussions. But the recall election is going to be about different things for different people. So we also have talked about the mining legislation that's coming through, which is also a controversy. The recall election is not going to have collective bargaining on the ballot. It's going to be a question about who should be governor. And so there's going to be other people making other connections to policies, but the collective bargaining is certainly going to be something that a lot of people are worried about.
Well, so many issues, so little time. We're out of it. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW Green Bay. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We will talk about love stories in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.